But now we are on Time Crunch. Oh, Razor has a I just realized as soon as I said that, I was like, Razor has a controller. And then I was like, I am immediately ruining the time crunch that we have to do.
Hey, everyone. Did you wait until I opened my mouth?
No, I didn't see. I was just like, what would be a funny noise?
I did clip the mic that time.
Woohoo!
Here, I can do... Oh no, that muted my mic. Recording Ooh. Volume 0.5, so then you can take it up or down.
Oh.
You know what, let's Technology. Do 0.6. They look so small. Small waveforms. Okay. Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Pointless Discourse with myself, Apocalypse, and D-Pain.
Murahu and Bite, which is hello, formally and informally, and Kinyarwanda. I don't know where that is. Well, I know it's in Africa because that's where
all the languages are. Yeah. It sounds pretty.
It's not on a map. Oh, that's because I just searched the language. It's the official language in Rwanda.
Mm.
Which is this tiny little speck, right? It's like, I didn't even realize it was part of the world. It's like kind of the middle westish of, south middle, I don't know. It's a real small, it looks like the Rhode Island in Africa.
When you zoom out on the map, you're like, is it even really there?
Pretty much. I haven't really studied. I almost said Alaska. But words are hard today. Yeah. But no, it's there. And before we start, I saw this really fun piece of news that I was like, oh man, this would be fun to share for the podcast. And then I lost it. And then I found something else that I think is really funny. And then I'm like, was this the original thing that I saw? Or is, or isn't it? So I was like, all right, let's just talk about this for a second. Have you heard what is happening in Ukraine? Like, not well,
I was gonna say there's a lot happening over there. I haven't seen recent news about something.
So Ukraine is raising money by for anyone who sends them $40, they will write a note on their artillery shells before firing them over to Russia.
So, oh.
I'm just going to send you this little screenshot of just four examples. I figure the first one would be the funniest.
Ooh, ooh.
And then, like, in the comments, where is it? There was one. I don't know if it's still there. But there was a comment that said, can you imagine just being destroyed by an UWU missile?
That would definitely be a way to go. I also think it's very interesting that someone wrote a happy anniversary to a couple. Yeah. I don't know if it's weirder if a friend was like, hey, for your anniversary, this is the gift I got you and sent you that picture. Or if the couple was like, you know, it would be really romantic for our 40th. I think it is cute because it is donating $40 for their 40th anniversary to help the country, but also I don't know how you come to that conclusion.
There's a lot of people in the middle and south country of the country that I think would probably fit that.
They would understand better than I would.
Yeah, or me.
Completely fair, but no, that was some fun news. Other than that, are there any announcements this week? Any? I know we have things to discuss and plan out for the podcast specifically, but any fun stuff like reviews, comments, interactions on Twitter?
Hey, you want interactions on Twitter? I got a beef with our Twitter. So, Hop knows this because I send it to her. But our Twitter page will really likes Hop's tweets. And so, and the thing is, it doesn't even like my tweets. It the thing is, our Twitter page, when it gives like, hey, notification, for me, the only time it says, hey, D-Pain, it's never my tweets. It's always, D-Pain liked a photo from this other person. I was like, but if I scroll down, it's just like, in case you missed Hopocalypse's tweet.
Look at it.
D-Pain liked a photo from, in case you missed Hopocalypse's tweet. Scroll down more. No, that's when we had some interaction. But then this last week, when we were recording this, when I tweeted the thing that when I said, weekly reminder, have everyone let Hopbox know how cool she is. That's the only time it says, hey, in case you missed the Disney Fiends tweet, because I added Hop.
I don't know. I can't say what the algorithm thinks.
What did
me.
You pay? Doesn't like the one that keeps uploading the things to it.
Yeah, it's like, oh, you're putting so much pressure on me, making me post things. This other one, though, she's just here.
Yep. I also, let's see real quick, as I lost the things. There we go. I want to go to the public site because they changed all their lineup things. Oh yeah, so still the same on that. But I was looking at the analytics, which was fun. And we go to the audience. Ever since we started doing video, we lost our whole Spotify audience.
Huh. And isn't that the one platform that said they were going to start pushing for the video?
Yep. But Amazon Music is just... hey, everyone listening to us on Amazon, thank you. I don't know how to access the Amazon side of the podcast stuff anymore because I did it once and I never found out how to get there again.
I think I have a link for you.
I am clicking said link. One's been the login.
Yeah, wait. I had to log into my Amazon to...
I don't want to add a mobile number. Not now.
Yeah, I said not now, and then it still let me through.
Excuse me. Would you look at that. There's all these here. Still find it crazy that we started this, what, in 2020?
Yeah, we're old people now, huh?
I've been old.
I went to a concert this last week. And I knew I was going to feel old there because the actual members of the band for this concert, I think the oldest is maybe 25. And so they had, before they opened the doors to try and speed things up, they were checking IDs to be able to put X's on hands for people that weren't allowed to buy alcohol and then giving wristbands to people that could. And all I saw were waves of people with X's on their hands. And they looked at my, I had a mask on and they looked at my ID and they didn't tell me to take my mask off. And they're like, here's your wristband. I was like, yes, because nobody lies about being this age. I've hit that, I've hit that number.
When I was 18, people just looked at me and just said, you're fine, we don't need a car deal. As one of my friends that I don't talk to anymore told me when I was 18, thought that I was 38.
Oh, man.
So I'm glad
Benjamin
now
Button.
I have grown into the age that I look like.
Yeah, but there were people in line that we did end up talking to for a bit, and I let them play the guess how old I am game. Mm-hmm. And when they actually got the number right, they were like, what? One girl started at, she thought I was 22. And I was like, that's nice. Precious.
You can be my friend for the night. But yeah, nah, my favorite thing is, I don't work with my youth group anymore. But there was a time when we had the new batch, I think, of sixth graders come up. And, like, I just looked over at everybody, and I was just like, hey, child, And I was like, what? And I was like, how does it make you feel that your brother is now your youth leader? Yeah, I'm not his brother.
Okay.
And, yeah, and he's just like, I don't know, it's whatever. And he's like, how does it make you feel to know that I was your brother's youth leader as well? And he looks at me and he's just like, how old are you? I was like, yeah.
Yup. Oh, so. Man. But yeah, time's fine. Time is zooming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Final Fantasy 2-7 coming out.
I don't think that's the way the numbers go in that order.
They do now.
The seventh installment of Final Fantasy 2.
Mm-hmm. Man. The Final Fantasy 2, the one that no one likes. Yeah. And now everyone is there's like a whole big push for the third Final Fantasy 7. It's also weird to say, is that it gets called Revengeance.
Three Vengeance?
No, Revengeance. Are you familiar with...
Bapun!
But it's... The first one is Rebirth. Oh, no, the second one's Rebirth. I forget what the first one's called. But they all start with R's.
Yes, I understand. But you said Final Fantasy 3, and then you said Revengeance. And I was like, but Three Vengeance?
Yeah, that's a good word.
it's a pun.
But the... Are you familiar with... Where the title Revengeance comes from?
I have zero Final Fantasy knowledge.
It's a meme, not from Final Fantasy. It's from Metal Gear Solid.
Oh.
Metal Gear Solid where you... this only makes sense if you played any or seen anything of Metal Gear Solid. So I'll ask that first. Are you familiar at all? Okay. There's a character called Raiden that you play in the second game. Well, the second Metal Gear Solid. There's many versions of Metal Gear. But anyway, you play that, and then he gets his own game where he's like... It's in the future where he's like a cyborg samurai man.
Mm-hmm.
And that is called Metal Gear... I think it's either Metal Gear Revengeance or Metal Gear Solid Revengeance. And it's just an angry robot man slashing everything. But it's really exciting to play.
Yeah, sorry the joke just flew right over my head.
That's all good. It can't fly over your head if you have no knowledge. It just wasn't even shot in the right area.
It was just in the wrong altitude. It was actually going into space instead of the air above my head.
It's like you were standing to the left. I shot to the right. And then it's just like, why you don't understand? But no, we are on Time Crunch. Oh, Razer has a I just realized as soon as I said that, I was like, Razer has a controller. And then I was like, I am immediately ruining the time crunch that we have to do.
I thought Razer had a controller. Are they?
I don't know.
I could be misremembering.
Doesn't look very comfortable. I'm trying to think if there's any other fun stories I want to share before we start. I held a child today.
Was the child...
It was not the niece.
Okay. I was going to say, as a transition over to what we're talking about today, did you steal said child and write your name on its shirt to try and claim
it? No. It was kind of more of the lines of the mom had to go onto the stage to help lead the worship or the music tonight or this morning, I was talking to one of the people and she like comes up just like, I need one of you guys to hold my child because my husband went to the bathroom and hasn't come back and I gotta get on the stage and if he doesn't show up in 30 minutes. And I'm like, I have held my niece to be trained for this. And then the child's like, I don't even know if she's like one yet. And she's just like, what the dump is this? And then her dad came and was just like, here you go. Take your child. I got to go to work.
Okay. And I realize I said that story without the preface of, in Better Off Ted, Linda stole a baby.
Yeah. Episode 4? No.
5?
6?
Because 4 is the one that you really liked the writer for.
Yeah.
Oh, and that
we just scroll up.
Oh yeah, through the wiki.
Oh, I don't have the wiki up. I was just looking at the.
Oh, the questions.
Yeah. It was five.
Five. Okay.
Yeah, because that's the one where the same thing as the ears.
The Mickey and the ears. Yes. Mm-hmm. But yes, so another episode of Better Off Ted. We're on to episode 8. And this one had another completely different vibe than the last episode.
I think I liked this one a little bit more.
Yeah, this one, I felt like the plot lines were better fleshed out and they had a better flow into each other, I guess I would say, with the way that it all came together. But we shall roll dice to see who gets to do the synopsis of this episode.
You can just have it.
Have you done the last three?
I think so.
Very fair. All right.
We have to honor the dice as I try to find the episode. There it is. All right. You know what? I'm going to get a completely different die.
Oh, not one of the usual three?
Yeah, because they keep betraying me. Let's see. Out of the bag. The first D20 I see. Oh, this one looks like a fog cloud. So, that wasn't it. That's a die that keeps running away. Come back here.
It grew legs?
What?
It grew legs and ran away?
Yes. Get back in your holding. Okay, here we go. That is like the most middle of numbers that I could have rolled. Okay, what single digit did you roll?
I rolled 2 this week.
You rolled 2 dice?
2 digit. 2 digit number. 13.
Oh, 11. Ha ha! Get back in the bag, you die. Let's see. The first one I picked up, what would it have been? Oh, that was a nat 20. Yeah. I'm glad I switched.
All right. So, yeah, so in this episode, what we basically have, I'll just fill in with a little opener because I did have a question for you based on the very beginning. Because in the beginning of most of these episodes, they have a little gadget or technology that they've researched or they're researching. So I open up with them introducing a chip that you can supposedly install in your brain for dietary purposes to make things taste different. We'll get to that later. And then it cuts to Phil and Lem trying to kind of pack up and leave for the... Or no. Before that, after the board meeting, Veronica mentions that her driver has passed away. And yeah, well, it's not funny that they're dead. With context, it'll be funny. And then Linda offers to be friendly to say that she'll give her a ride home. And Veronica keeps looking at Linda's like, how much do I owe you? And Linda's like, no, we're friends. And Linda and Veronica spiral into their thread for this episode in which Veronica is like, I finally have someone I can talk to because you said we are friends. And you know what friends do? Friends open up to each other. So then Linda is faced with the onslaught of everything Veronica has ever thought or felt for like her entire life, because apparently she's never had anybody. And then you have on the other side, Phil and Lem are getting ready. Like they have these garment bags and they're like trying to get ready and leave for the night, and Ted's like, hey, Rose is out of town with her mom, can we like hang out, go to a beer, I have all this free time that I'm not used to having. And Phil and Lem are kind of, Phil wants to invite him and Lem is like, no, you don't mix your boss with your personal life because it never changes, your boss is still going to be your boss, you have to keep that separate. And Phil's like, no, it's fine. And Ted, curious about what they're doing, goes to reach for one of the garment bags, and they start, like, hissing at him, like, don't touch that. And Ted gets confused, but eventually convinces them to let him get invited into the basement. And you get a whole list of all these different clubs that they've tried joining, and the one that's stuck for them is LARPing, essentially, but they call it Medieval Fight Club. And they have all the different tiers, and based on like the fight club and how well you do during the fight club, you get to different tiers and things like that. And naturally, Ted has to be Ted. Ted just, he can't turn off being Ted. And then you follow that whole thread of his complications with, mixed in with like some of Ted's personal life, mixed in with Phil and Lem and his relationship with Ted and all that stuff. Mm-hmm.
Isn't there the line where I think Lem says, like, why do you have to be good at everything you touch?
Or something like that. And so just like, I don't understand what you mean.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's a general synopsis, and then we can kind of dive into things with the questions I have. Do you have anything else you wanted to add in?
No, I think everything else will kind of roll out as we talk through it.
Okay, so then yes, my first question for you. If you could get a chip in your head to make everything taste like something, would you do it?
Is it just have everything taste like one thing?
Well, the way that they advertised it in the show was they said you could get a chip and implant it into your brain so that everything tasted sweet. So, like, for dietary reasons, if you don't like vegetables, it'll make vegetables taste sweet. And, like, I know I definitely wouldn't want everything to be sweet.
Yeah.
But I don't think I could personally handle everything tasting, like, one flavor.
Yeah. Like, especially with me, like, exploring cooking, I love the different tastes. Like, I'm a dip a dip dip. One of the meals I'm making tomorrow is, it's in a Vietnamese dish, and I never made Vietnamese food. And so I'm like, I don't know. I'm excited to try that. It's a lot of pork. But it's like, it just thinking about the sweetening side, it's like pretty much I need to like caramelize sugar. And then I pour that in there. But it's pretty much just to give it like a darker look. But I don't know. It's like if I had everything taste the same, I don't know. That just sounds boring.
Yeah, I think it would work
for traveling.
Yeah, I think it would work for me as a diet if everything tasted the same, because then I wouldn't want to eat, because it would be like, I know what this is gonna be like. What's the point?
Yeah. There's that, and then like there's also. Brain just died. I don't know, because like, so this just reminds me of something, like I think it was 2 or 3 weeks ago, where we had a group come to our church. We knew them for years from Myanmar. I think it was Myanmar, whatever Burma changed their name to. Because I know there's Myanmar and Myanmar, like, and they're like right next to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm getting confused because I'm not looking at a map. But I was just sitting there and I was like, oh man, I like the food from that area. And I was like, I really want to go and get some of that. And plus it helps them out. But then there was like these other two guys, because we had training afterwards, that are just like, oh, I'm just going to go to Wawa. And I was like, why? It's like, it's going to be nothing really. Like, they're not going to give you something super exotic. They know who they're trying to get this food to.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest, like, this exotic stuff is more just Hollywood, like, extremes and imagination. And the more you look into it, it's like a lot of it's just rice, fish, and chicken.
Yeah.
But they're like, oh, I don't know. And, like, I know where I made my mistake, because, like, I was like, oh, no, it's like it's probably just, like, rice and, like, in my head, I was about to say like chicken, but fish is what came out of my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh, I don't want fish. And like looking, I was like, they were just looking for the excuse.
Mm.
And then, but I went over. As soon as I walked over, they're like, oh yeah, here's curry chicken. And I was like, yes,
easy yes.
I did that, and then like I gave them a bunch of money, but I also took probably way too much. I should have eaten one sitting. And I was like, I was so happy, but I'm like, man. I want to go to your guys' church. Do you guys eat like this? I think the joke I was telling one of my friends was like, do you have any desperately single people? I will do that for food.
So, we'll marry for food.
We'll marry for good food. But the food, like the stuff like there was super good. But like compared like curry chicken to like, I don't know, like just another chicken dish. I don't know. Mainly because I've just been cooking a lot from like Asian food, like chicken tonkatsu. Oh wow, I can't talk. Pretty much like deep fried chicken with curry.
Mm-hmm.
And my brain can't remember the words, but it's just like those are two completely different tastes, and I don't think I would want a chip. I don't think you were also expecting this question to go as long as it did.
Nope. But the other thing I was going to say is I did think it was funny that they said that invasive brain surgery is still rated higher than diet and exercise.
Understandable. One of them is done.
Yeah, they're like, invasive brain surgery, or elective brain surgery, a lot of people aren't into it, but... I would still pick that over diet and exercise. All right. No, like, I knew with these episodes, like, I should start doing, like I said, more open-ended questions, so then we have fun chat time instead of just going, yeah, that happened in that show. Because this doesn't have as strong as Threads, and I knew that going in, but I knew that I figured that we could do something short and, like, not so serious like the sitcom before we go into movie marathon.
Yeah. But, like, that's the thing, like, where Hop is the one that she comes up with the questions and the quizzes, and I just make sure the episode gets out on time.
Okay. So the next question. Were you surprised that Ted took to Medieval Fight Club so well?
Well, I knew he would take to it because that was kind of the name of the episode and he was in the image. Mm-hmm. But, at first, like,
He was hesitant, wasn't. Yeah.
Yeah, he was just like, oh, okay, you guys have fun. And then they're like, oh, it's our street cred. and then it's just,
yeah, because Phil says, what is it, something like, in order for them to move up, they needed to recruit more people that were good at Medieval Fight Club. Mm-hmm. So that's why Phil wanted to bring him, because Phil was like, I know Ted could make us look cooler.
Yeah.
Then it backfires.
Mm-hmm. But like, it kind of, like, the combat side of it, like, I guess, I don't know, it's not like they've really shown him not having any, like, I guess, like, training or something like that, but, hold on, I gotta just scan your questions real quick to make sure, okay, because there's a little bit later where he just comes and he's like, with no context. Once again, I feel that's, like, just Ted's storylines right now, where it's just, like, out of context sentence to other co-worker, to Linda or Veronica, and everyone's just like, yeah, okay. You're just like, I almost killed a man in the basement today. Last
night. Yeah, because the last episode he was like, I have to go to the strip club with a bunch of 50-year-old men, and Linda's like, what happened?
Yep. And yeah, it's still unclear if he actually ever went.
Because he says yes.
Yeah, but, like, I don't know. It also seemed like
he was tired
back,
of them.
Well, yeah. He was tired, but then came back to where everyone was partying in his office. And he's like, okay, get out of here. And wants to clean the butt print off his off his desk or whatever it was.
Yeah. Yeah, for me, I was surprised, not so much that he took to it very well, but that it felt like it didn't take much effort for him to go from, like, oh, this can be a you guys thing, to, like, you know what, I'm 100% in it. He went as far as, like, oh, I'm going to add more days. I'm going to force all the other clubs out of the place. We're going to do this all the time.
He ordered his own uniform.
He did. He did. He put a lot of energy into it. Mm-hmm. And I think I do have a question talking about it later. Okay. So then we'll flip it back to the other storyline. Do you think you could handle Veronica's emotional dumping?
Not with a straight face.
Which line was your favorite? I know which one is mine, of what she admits.
Oh, I like the first one. I still like the first one. It's just like, oh, yes, my driver died. And it's like, oh, thank you. When she's coming back with the... all the stuff. And it's like, yeah, my grandmother died. And she's like, oh, I'm so sorry, your driver and your grandmother? Two people at once? Two. There's on the lines of that. And then, there was something else. The housekeeper. And then you find out that the grandmother was the housekeeper and chauffeur. And so.
Yeah, because I think it goes, because she's like, like you said, she says those two, and then Linda, she carried like a heavy box up the stairs. Mm-hmm. And that's why Veronica mentioned, oh no, after she carries the box upstairs, Veronica's like, I'll go get us some wine, but we have to pour it ourselves because my housekeeper died.
Yes.
and Linda's like, when did that happen? This week. And then Linda's face is like the math meme where she's like, her driver, her grandmother, mm-hmm. her housekeeper.
But my favorite one, which I was like, oh, what's the one that repeated? It's the one with the sister.
That's my favorite one, where she admits to feeding her sister pudding in her sleep so that her sister would gain weight and be the uglier sister. And then it shows at the end. Linda's trying to sleep and Veronica's on the phone. Yeah, my sister's in town for grandmother's funeral, spoon feeding pudding to her sleeping sister on the couch.
And she's just like rubbing the throat, just like, here you go.
It was also very enjoyable to see Linda try and figure out how to handle Veronica after liquor, because they tried to write the storyline that, like, Linda, you know, after so much wine, was like, I don't know how you're still sober. Like, this is so much wine. And Veronica's like, oh, I processed liquor differently, and then goes from, like, sitting straight up to just slamming her.
And just like, she's dead.
And then Linda goes and, like, tucks her into bed and was, like, joking about... Was she joking about punching Veronica? She's like, you want one of these?
Yeah.
And then Veronica just goes, Linda. And then starts doing the emotional dumping.
Yeah.
Whereas Linda is freaking out. Linda's like, I know too much. I know too much.
Yeah. Yeah. And then it's just like, I thought you were going to like fire me and get rid of me. I haven't thought of that.
Well, we're letting you go. And Linda's like, what? And Veronica's like, is what I would say.
Yes. And just like the constant jokes of like, haha, gotcha. But, there was something else. Let me look at my notes. There was something with Veronica. Oh. Now I remember, it was the thing, the picture I sent to you earlier this week.
Oh, the meme.
Episode 8. Let's see if I can find it real quick. It was, I could probably just look it up on my phone. It's two people on a slide, and it's just like, it's just funny how oversharing and keeping things inside both lead to feeling bad. Well, we got both sides in this episode.
That we did.
Yeah. All
right. So then back to Ted. I remember last episode I wrote it, so we were talking about each storyline, and now I'm doing the back and forth. But it's okay. We're having fun.
We're riffing. You wrote the questions, so I'm just here to follow along and give color commentary.
Did you expect Ted to blackmail Phil and Lem?
Not really.
Yeah, that one was the one that I was like, oh, I knew he was going to be good at the club and get obsessed with it because he gets obsessed with everything, but I did not expect him to turn on them.
Yeah. And so, yeah, it was just, like, interesting, too, because it's just, like, that came off as blackmail, while, like, he kind of does the same... Like, he treated the club kind of similar to how he treats his job.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, like, in his job, like, reworking schedules and making sure things are open and closed and everything makes sense, like, in his position to make sure that the job can be done smoothly. But as a extracurricular activity...
I heard that one.
Yeah. My windows are open. I traded children for cars. Oh, there it's still going. It's just, it comes off, especially, like, I think one of them had, like, a special event or something, like,
that
night.
It was someone's mom's birthday.
Yeah.
I think it was Phil's mom's, because I think Phil was like, is it weird if I bring my mom to MFC?
I think so.
And Len was like, yes.
Mm-hmm. So, man, that's, it makes sense, but I wasn't expecting it. It was like, I guess that line of pretty much what Phil says, like, no, you can't have your boss join your stuff because, like, your boss is never your friend, or I forget the line up here. Let's see, hanging out with a boss could be a bad idea. Streakhead, bosses and employees shouldn't hang out. It's like the ventriloquist trying to be friends with the dummy. That's and at the end of the day, you know who's sleeping in the suitcase. And that's at the end of the episode. But But yeah, no, he pretty much says something on the lines of that, which is just like, no, bosses should not be friends with the employee, or rather, employees shouldn't be friends with their bosses, because, like, yeah, that this stuff, like, well, if you like your job.
Yeah, because I think what Ted does, the, oh, if you're not going to show up tonight, then I want that report at 9 a.m. tomorrow on the dot. And they're like, it's not ready. And he's like, if only you had an excuse, then I'll work on the report tonight. I was like, oh, Ted. Not good, Ted. Bad Ted.
Yeah. Hanging out with Veronica a little too much.
Yeah. And then my follow-up question, I'm sure this is an automatic yes for you, but was it less surprising to you when Veronica did blackmail Linda?
No, that seemed a little bit more par for the course. Yeah. But I like her temper tantrum. Like,
Veronica as a character is very fun. Is she still your favorite character?
Currently. Yeah. I don't know. It's like, it's just, she's just such an extreme to where everyone else is like, okay, just don't tip the scales. Just keep everything loosey-goosey.
Yeah, they like, I understand what she's like, so we're going to make sure we're right here.
Yes. Like, don't rock the boat. But then, like, the other thing is, like, you can say that, and she has, like, since she's so corporate, she doesn't understand, like metaphors, like, that aren't business-related.
Yeah, she just wants, like, the complete straight and narrow. And I did think it was very funny when they try to come to the conclusion, and Linda's like, you know what, to be a friend, we need to both share things with each other. Yes. And Linda goes, one time when I was a kid, Veronica goes, I hate this. You're overbearing. You're oversharing. You're putting too much on me. And Linda's like, I didn't even...
start yet.
Veronica's like, I don't think we can be friends anymore.
Like, it was that easy. So,
when Veronica divulged what Veronica said, like, I got my grandfather deported from the country. Mm-hmm. I feed my sister to make her fat. Like, she... some real stuff that's like... a lot for a person to have to be like trusted with.
Mm-hmm.
And she would call her, but like basically every hour of the day, like, oh, I forgot to tell you something else about my life.
Mm-hmm. There's a comment I would say, but I see it's one of the questions on here.
Okay. And then, so with all of that, when did it stand out to you that Ted was using MFC for coping with Rose being with her mom?
It didn't until the end.
Like, until the very end.
Yeah, because Rose, like, I understood, like, Rose was, like, with her mom and everything, and then there was, like, all that stuff, but it was just, like, I didn't, like, it wasn't really, like, connecting, because it could have been, like, I slept very terribly this whole week, and it was just that thread didn't connect, but I still don't think I would connect it either, because it's just like, oh, Rose is just calling on the phone. Not that big of a deal.
I did like the line where he was on the phone with Rose and was like, all right, bye, Rose, love you, honey. And he hangs up, and then like Ted curses her out, and Phil and Lem are like, she's seven. He can't say that about her. He's like, no, her mom.
Oh, okay. Yes. That's a joke I would like to make.
Wait for an excuse and be like, hey, you can't say that. That's a kid. When you clearly know. But no,
ice cream for breakfast.
Yeah, it was ice cream for breakfast, staying up past curfew. Like a lot of little like tiny things. But he was like, she's so spoiled. She's spoiling her because she never sees her. And then, I think it connected for me. Maybe the second or third time that he complained about Rose and her mom, because he went I feel like there was a point in the like midway through the episode, he went from like, I can't believe she's doing this, and then turns to Phil and them. He's like, we're going to MFC tonight. I'm going to go win. I'm going to become like the best fighter. And I was like, oh, he's not okay. And then you have kind of the stuff at the end with Linda, and he's like, he finally kind of like opens up about, you know, being grumpy about everything and how Rose is being handled.
Yeah. One thing the line is like, just like, yeah, she does all the fun stuff where I have to be the actual parent.
I'm the bad guy and she gets the runoff. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's, but yeah, in the end, though, it's like, I don't know, I haven't gone through that, but it's like, from what I heard from people going through that, like, they, kids that have gone through a divorce, and, like, one of the parents are like that, like, I don't know, it seems like there's a lot more value on that person, like, growing up was perceived as the bad guy, like, as long as they're, I don't know, I don't think Ted is a terrible parent from all the little bits that we've seen, but it's just, like,
he has to be the one that says, no, you can't have that, or no, you can't do that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, to be responsible to make sure that Rose is growing up. And it's just like, I don't know. Like, you might not see it now as she's seven, but, like, when she's older and, like, develops, you might see, like, if you don't screw it up.
Don't screw up the teenage years. Then she'll thank you later.
Yeah. But from all I heard from parents who have teenage daughters, like, you just hope for the best. Like, you just try not to make them mad.
All right, and then this is kind of like the ending of the episode. What did you think of Linda's chance in the MFC?
I think they just recreated Ted.
Yeah. I was just not a big fan of the outfit they put her in. I was like, why did they put her in, like everybody else that I remember being there was kind of more in...
It felt like they were going, like, get for, like,
a Xena. Yeah, Warrior Princess vibe. Whereas everybody else was there. Were there other women in the club?
Yes, I think so.
I can't remember how they were dressed, but I feel like I would have noticed if there were a bunch of Xena War Princesses, like, running around.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think they were mainly dressed, like, kind of in similar garb of everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
I was like... For the most part, everyone was kind of dressed the same.
Like the poofy shirt.
Yeah, except for the dude that they get at the end where he's like, no, man, I can't do this anymore.
Oh, the like retired best fighter.
Yeah, and that's the one that Ted almost kills.
And then they're like, all right, Ted, we voted you out of the club. You have some issues.
That's the company's like, Ted, just want to let you know, you have now become king of Underground Medieval Fight Club, but we also voted, and you died, so you can no longer come back to Medieval Fight Club. And he's like, I'm not coming back, guys, it's all good.
And then Phil's like, just to make sure, when we say you're dead, you're not allowed back. So it's like, it's fine. But it was pretty cute when Linda said that she was stressed out with all the Veronica stuff, that she was like, I don't know how to deal with all this, and they're like, we have an idea. And they had their own little private MFC for her.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, she definitely went all in on it.
Yeah, it's like, I think you just traded out. Well, I guess the one benefit is that she's not their boss.
Mm-hmm.
But from, I guess, a mental state, same thing.
Yeah, because she still works with them, and she's still supposed to get, like, feedback and stuff from them. But she can't. "Quote unquote," tell them what to do in the way that Ted does.
Yeah, like you can't give them a report to have done in the next few for the next day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I remember that was like the last thing that shows up, and I'm like, okay, wasn't expecting that.
Her scream running with the sword. Yeah.
I don't even remember who she's fighting, but.
I forget, too. But I do remember, like, it wasn't the full club down there. It was pretty much just, like, the handful of them.
Ted ruined it.
Yes, Ted ruined the club.
Yeah. This was also the episode, like, so I think it was a couple weeks ago where I didn't realize that Hulu was playing Better Off Ted in the background on my computer while I was doing the cooking stream. And then I was like, oh, hold on, because I thought there was some weird audio stuff, and I unmuted it, and I just hear, like, I don't even remember the line, but it was just like, what the heck is that? And I looked, and I'm like, ah! So, but yeah, I'm now caught up to what my computer watched ahead of me.
Yeah, your computer knew where you needed to catch up. Yeah. It was like, you'll like this episode. We'll get it to this point.
Is this what it's like when people are in a relationship and the one one of the couple
watches ahead of the other one?
Like, but we're gonna watch it together. Not anymore. Anyway.
But also, I realized I didn't bring up, I kind of enjoy, but also don't completely understand the ranking system of the MFC. So clearly there was the king, which Ted was making fun of because he was like, oh, it's the head of IT. But then he like comes out in his robe and his crown and is like, per my decree, like in his full official voice. So what did Phil and Lem start out as? Were they squires?
I think so. Yeah. I don't know if they were squires. I thought they were like upper peasants,
something like that.
Yeah, it was like I don't think they were squires. I think they were like right below that.
And then they brought Ted, and then they got some street cred, so they moved up and were allowed to participate in fights. But then Ted beat Lem terribly, and then Phil was like, "I forfeit." So then they both became jesters.
Poor jesters, yeah.
And which Phil was like, joke's on you. I'm using all my same material from last week. I was like, how is Phil still part of this club when he can't even, like, participate? Mm-hmm. And then, so, what did did they ever give Ted an official title as he was moving up the ranks? Or did it just go from him, like, being also an upper peasant to, like, he earned king and then they were like, but you're not allowed back?
Yeah, well, like, after he fights Lem and Phil, I think that's when he becomes a knight or a squire.
Okay.
And then, because, like, I don't even remember how he gets up into the fights at first, because, like, I think Lem and Phil, they're just like, oh, no, do you want to join? And they're just like, how do I get in there? And then like, they pull some strings and then allow him to fight. And then that's how he just
beats everybody that faces him.
And then I think the last fight is the retired like guy from the MFC.
Yeah, he's like, I've got kids now, I can't be doing that anymore.
Yeah. and then everyone's just like, he's back. He was the one that looked the most like a warrior too.
Yeah, he looked like someone that could hurt somebody. And then Ted just ran in and everyone's like, oh god.
It feels like Ted cheated. Like, there was supposed to be a sign for them to fight.
And yeah, just went in. The whole, you know, like, 3-2-1.
Yeah. But yeah, it's a... I'm trying to scan through the thing and just see if there's... if they have,
any kind of title.
Yeah, but it seems like they focus more on the Linda-Veronica story.
Okay, and that's fine. That is a fun story.
Mm-hmm.
So then, here's my final question for you. Out of everyone in the show, who do you think needs the most therapy?
Yes. I'm trying to think who would like actually partake in it. Like, who would actually get the most out of it?
I think Ted and Veronica would do it if they just told each other, you know what, I'm going to become the most mentally well after this.
Yeah.
Like, they'd have to make a competition out of it.
I think that's how they get in, but I think Ted would actually get a lot out of it.
Because he would actually try.
Well, I think just because anytime anyone gives him a little bit of, like, information or something, he's just like, oh. And I think he would, like, without him realizing it, would probably get a lot of benefit from it.
Mm-hmm.
I think Veronica would probably just keep flipping the tables until the person's like, okay, you obviously don't want to be here.
Yeah, every time that they would say, you tell me more about that, and she's like, no, I'm going to turn around and talk about other things I want to. And they'd be like, but it sounds like we should talk about this. And she'd be like, nope, nope. Just keep dodging it back and forth. But I also feel like Linda would be that way. Because I feel like anytime Linda has been faced with anything that's more than just something easy to solve, she's like, I'm going to cope this way. I'm not going to talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, I don't know. Like, I don't know enough about, well, I know a little bit about counseling, but not from like an actual patient side of it.
I also think Phil could really use it. Because doesn't he say a comment about like how he wishes his wife could like run off to wherever Ted's wife is or something like that?
It says every episode something with his wife. And I'm like, feel sorry for her. I hope she's doing okay.
Yeah, I think Phil would get a lot out of it because Phil likes to word vomit a lot. Mm. He doesn't always listen, but if you give him the right motivation, like in the early episodes where he gets the fake prize, then he like flips the script. He's like, I'm no longer like sad about this. I'm a confident person who screams randomly. Mm. Also, like, I guess he's healed from that, but...
Yeah. Yeah. Thank goodness.
If it was like every time he came on the screen he screamed once, yeah, that would get tired fast. But yeah, with the right little like treats, I think you can convince Phil to actually like do something to help himself.
Yeah, and I feel like Lem would just, if everyone went to counseling, he would have or therapy, he would have a lot more peace of mind.
He's kind of like the most rational, but he's also the most stubborn out of everyone, I think.
Yeah, part of me wonders if he has to be like that because of the people he is surrounded by.
He's like, if I'm not the one that like puts the line in the sand, then everyone's just gonna lose their minds and go crazy around me. Yeah, that could be pretty much it.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of everyone else. Like that whole team, like, because we only meet them when they're trying to get Ted his job back.
Mm-hmm.
And like,
there's the other scientists.
Yeah. And there's the one that just is like, heck with you guys, and just bails.
I also like the one that she's like, Linda's over. And, you know, it's very clear Linda and Ted have some chemistry. But then that scientist, she's like, do you think Ted, like, and I have chemistry? And Linda's like, what? She's like, I know you're jealous of us, Linda. And Linda's like, who?
Yes. To be honest, that whole office needs a little therapy, especially after dog, space, car, sport, click episode.
Oh, yes. With you can't sit with them. What do you mean? We're all people. No, they're space people. You can't sit with space people. You're a cat person.
Yes. Oh, it was cat, not sport.
Yeah.
And, yeah. I wonder what Lem and Phil, what group they were put in.
I wonder if they weren't put into one because they don't seem to have cubicles.
I wonder if it's just that floor.
That was, if Linda made the suggestion and then they ended up being the guinea pigs.
Yeah.
I could see it.
Yeah. And then moving forward with that.
Yeah,
but you think of all the other characters in this show that we've met. Rose would have to be the counselor.
Rose would be the counselor. She was very good at firing people. She was able to relate to them on a level they understood.
Yeah, pretty much tells Ted every time she's not with her mom that, what are you doing? Yeah, I don't think there really is any other character that sticks out. I wonder what's happening to Linda's ex-boyfriend. He showed up, and now he's just gone.
I don't think he needs therapy.
He escaped.
Yeah, he made it out. I like how... Not so
much from Linda, just from Meridian's bubble of unstability.
Yeah, I did think it was funny when he was trying so hard to be, like, a nice person. It was like, it's nice to meet all your coworkers. They're all such nice people. And then, like, Veronica and Ted would start saying things, and he'd be like, what? You guys actually, like, do that? Because he mistook them for a couple, and they were like, no, absolutely not. We hate each other. We're just competing to sell paper. And they were like, and he's like, okay, yeah. Back at you.
Get me out of here.
So I decided to check on the wiki. It looks like the writer and director for this episode are completely different than every previous episode.
That's why it was a good one.
So, out of the episodes we've watched so far, is 4 still your favorite?
I'm trying to... Do you have the thing where you can see who wrote what?
Yes, I can send you the wiki link.
I think I might have found it. I'll just find out. Oh, I'm on a different wiki. So far, yeah. Forge is good.
The Forge's like writing was really good, and I liked the way that the humor, I think, plays out, where it's still funny but it doesn't detract from everything. Mm-hmm. But I think I like episode 8 a lot as well, because it kind of has the same feeling where it didn't feel like they forgot about the plots. Mm-hmm. And that the humor was just to help make the plot easier to deal with, because it really, at the core of it, this episode was about how, you know, it's hard to erase the boundary of like boss to friend, because at the end of the day, the boss is like, well, you know, I, like Lem says, like, I hold the strings, I tell you what to do for your job, and that's a hard thing to like forget about.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm just looking through this all now. It's like, yeah, Paul Lazarus was. The other thing I'm just sitting here wondering about is, like, since, oh, wait a second. Okay, there. Oh, I wonder if the writer and director for the first two episodes of this are related. Because it's written by Victor Fresco
and directed by Michael Fresco.
I'm just looking through this, and I'm curious, because the first three episodes are directed by the same person, Michael Fresco. And then, well, the next episode, number 9, is also...
Oh my goodness, sorry. So I clicked on Victor Fresco's wiki, and it says Victor Fresco is brothers with director Michael Fresco and television drama writer Rob Fresco. So when they tell you nepotism runs deep in Hollywood, it's everywhere.
Michael Fresco doesn't have really anything.
Not much of a wiki, no.
But I'm curious, because like the first couple episodes were pretty good for Better Off Dead, of just
the setup of the show.
Yeah, and but like Michael comes back and directs the last episode 11 and 12.
Yeah, it looks like Michael, he has a list of like a bunch of different shows, so maybe he was doing a lot at the same time. Mm-hmm. Oh, it looks like it says, for Michael Fresco's, he directed 9 episodes of the series that was written by his brother. But he doesn't have a lot of writing rights or writing credits throughout the episodes, as far as I've seen.
Victor?
Yeah, it's kind of like... Two in the first season.
Three. According to Wikipedia.
Yeah.
Oh, well. But yeah. It's, it'll be interesting. Well, now I'm curious. Hold on. Let's... Okay, Always Sunny in Philadelphia. I'm just wondering, season 1. Let's just go there. Please go to season 1. All right, thank you. Directed, okay, written by Charlie and Rob.
I was going to say, I know the early seasons are like the main three.
Yeah. All right, so in season 2, there's one episode. It's all directed by pretty much the same person in the second season, except for the first episode, which is by Rob, that Mac, pretty much.
Yeah, I know the guy that plays Cricket in It's Always Sunny does a couple episodes as a writer.
Yeah, it looks like for
David
the most,
Hornsby.
Yeah, it looks like for the most, like it looks like the three of them. Charlie, Rob, and Glenn are always part of it somehow.
Yeah, season 5 has some different names in there.
Yeah.
Season 6 has some different names in there as well.
Yeah, because I don't know, probably at this point they're just...
It's... Season 11 does not have the main three on it a lot.
And that's the newest one, right?
No.
That was 12. Oh my goodness, there's a lot more seasons.
There's 15! I'm not this caught up.
Let's see, when... Did I even watch season 10? I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't remember the last season I watched.
No, I think 8, because... Mac and Dennis buy a timeshare. Is that the one where they get the house in the suburbs?
Yes.
Yeah. So I haven't seen that one. Yeah, so I think I watched season 8.
I think I've watched through to season 13, because the end of season 13 is where Mac comes out finally.
Okay. Yeah, it's... you know what, that's... Thinking about it, Always Sunny's episode of... When they all go to therapy, is thinking about therapy is a good one. Just like, yeah, my friend gave me fat pills. What? You know what? If we wanted, we could do the same thing with Always Sunny. They only got like, let's see, 7, 10. Oh, season 3 is a long one. 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. But yeah, it looks like it's everywhere between. Oh, wait. It has the number of episodes. I don't have to count the number.
Oh, on the wiki, yeah.
Yeah, so 15, 13, 12, 14. Looks like they're all under... We would never run out. Oh, and then after that, like after season...
Seven, it's all
10 episodes.
Yeah, I guess if you guys listened to us this far, we appreciate it. And if you would like us to watch and talk about It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. I know we've talked about our favorite episodes of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, but if you'd like us to kind of go deep dive into each episode, the early episodes will be very hard to talk about. I have heard that the... I saw a TikTok where someone said... You know, all of my friends say, like, It's Always Sunny. So I start from the beginning, and the first episode, they say something that I don't agree with in the first 5 minutes. And I was like, yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
And then... And then in the comments, they said on the podcast that the three guys, that they regret some of the humor they use in the early seasons.
Mm-hmm. I think that's why... I think the Always Sunny episodes are our only explicit episode.
Yeah. Checks out. Because it's hard to talk about any of it without bringing up mature themes.
Yeah, there was one other episode that we almost gave the explicit title, and I can't remember what it was. Wait, no. I think we also... I can't remember if we gave it to the anime or manga.
Anime
couples,
because some of them have themes in it that about how they become a couple that are less than
great. I remember the one I used, and I was like, I really like how this couple goes, but I can't recommend everyone reading the comic because it's super dark. And with a title as Suicide Island, it's like kind of paints the picture.
That's true. But yeah, so if you could always reach out to us on Twitter at twitter.com/pointlessdisco, which seems to like me more than D-Pain. Callback. If you reach out
it's
to
like
us,
the whole internet, everyone likes Hop more than D-Pain.
But I've been hiding from the internet. This That's is your why. Chance.
That's why they like you more. They're like, come back.
Yeah, if you send us a our DM should be open on there, so if you send us something on there to let us know that you'd be interested in hearing us ramble about how funny we find anti-humor, let us know. Otherwise, you could follow that Twitter page for updates on upcoming episodes. If you interact with us on there, you will get shout outs. If you like hearing your names said on a podcast, that's one way to do it. Another way is to leave us a rating or review and actually write something, because otherwise it comes up anonymous and we want to thank you, but we don't know how to. So thanks to the 2 anonymous 5 stars we've gotten. Is it only 2? Is there more?
Yes. Unless it changed while we were talking.
Okay. But thank you to you. And then triple appreciate if you send us to friends, enemies, lovers, family, evil villains, your DM, your
other someone, single people. Like that. Yeah, everyone forgets them.
That person in high school who keeps sending you links to MLMs to join. I had someone invite me to two different groups because they requested me on Facebook, and I was like, someone I know still talks to like the person's husband. And I was like, all right, fine. It can't be that weird. I've at least kind of talked to them in the last like few years. Mm-hmm. And then I immediately get requests to join two groups. And I was like, mm-hmm. I regret Bye. This.
The Homer Simpson meme just back
into the bushes. anyone else for people to send our podcast to? I think I counted like seven.
Yeah. I was just thinking of other people we could thank. TFT, I really like Set 7, the little bit I played of it.
Dragons.
Yeah, except when the person you're playing with steals the one dragon you're looking for.
Not dragon.
Yeah. Or when you do an anti-dragon build, and then everyone else decides to be like, no, we're not going to do dragons. I was like, really? I personally did this to fight you. You jerks.
So then, I guess mini announcement. Do you have everything sorted out for some plans for something, your big event of the summer?
Yeah, that's next month. I just gotta ask people now. That I meant to do that yesterday, but then I was working on, well, I guess a big announcement for the October. That's the life of D-Pain right now. There's like five projects I'm working on. They're all really cool to me.
But, any of them you're ready to share yet? Or are you still working out some details?
I don't know. The one I've shared multiple times. I'm doing a Call Cthulhu podcast.
Ooh.
So that's pretty much... That will be coming out. Because for anyone that doesn't know, normally I stream all my D&D and on YouTube. Sorry, not on YouTube. On my Twitch.
But it does get uploaded to YouTube, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. But this one, like, I've been wanting to do something specifically for YouTube, and I was like, the more and more I was looking at the story, I was like, this would make a pretty interesting podcast. So, yeah, that will be something hopefully in October. I think we're going to start recording this month. And by this month, I mean Wednesday. I'm not 100% sure. I'll have to double check. But, yeah, it's... recording super early so that way I can hopefully get episodes lined up and ready to go for October, and that should be fun. If as I say, Hop gets the brunt of my creative out like vomit, and so she is, I don't think you're a stranger to, I heard one sentence and now this. That's pretty much how this whole Call of Cthulhu podcast went. It's just I heard one sentence and then wrote a 10-chapter campaign.
Yep, that's why I was like, let me let you decide what you're gonna announce, because I know you have a lot of stuff.
Well, there's Charity Palooza, but like Charity Palooza is every year, but I don't have names and stuff for that yet. There's only one person I asked because I know they mentioned their schedule. They might be on this call, but.
Who could it be? I can't find anybody else here.
It's the bunnies.
He was right next to me. I think he's gone back to eat food, so he's he's busy. I'll take a I'm a secretary. I'll take what do they call it? It's not a note.
I don't know. I never was a secretary.
Yeah.
But I know they all get mad at me. but yes. Of the many projects of D-Pain in this. My brain died because now my brain went back to dragons. And I was like, I want to hit him with a sword. Bye.